Tuesday night from 10 p.m. to midnight, KBOO brings you the Anjali and the Kid Show with DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid. Post-national bass, folk, and urban sounds that'll knock you upside the head.
It's Anjali and the Kid every Tuesday night on KBOO.
Coming up next, it's Art Focus. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon College of Art and Crafts Studio School, offering classes and workshops for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register.
Hi, good morning. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. Thanks so much for listening today. I have a special guest with me today. He's not in the studio with me. He's in New York. His name is James Gallagher. He's an artist, a curator, an educator, and he's also got a new magazine out. James, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure.
So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I just think I'd mention to everybody here that I've been aware of James Gallagher's work since, I think, 2004, when we were both curated into an exhibition that was here in Portland, Oregon, called Paper Chase.
That's right.
And Jenny Strayer, she was the curator, and it was at Guest Room Gallery, which was owned by Marilyn Murdoch, who has... she's got a framing place. Why it's a place that's skipping my mind right now, but she has a couple of gallery spaces as well, and one of them was Guest Room. Then to fast forward to 2012, that James Gallagher and I were in another exhibition together, but it was on the East Coast, and it was at Frosch and Portman Gallery, a binder of collages.
Yep.
Yes, but in between, James, you've curated all these exhibitions yourself, a series of exhibitions all involving collage called Cutters. And now what we are sort of celebrating is a new magazine that you've put up called Secret Behavior. This has just launched, yes?
Yep, just over the weekend at the New York Art Book Fair at PS1.
So never been to that fair. How was that for you?
It was great. I had an amazing reception there. People were excited about it, and I couldn't have asked for a better weekend. We had a launch party a couple days before the fair, and it was great to get a bunch of friends and artists out to celebrate. We had an exhibition that was hanging at the same time from maybe a dozen featured artists in the first issue, and it was great. It was a lot of fun.
So this this magazine, it's fair to call it a magazine, yes?
Some people call it a journal, a magazine. It's a biannual publication about contemporary art, with the focus on kind of like the human condition. You know, it's about art and humans.
Art.
And
So the title, let's just talk about the title for a little bit, because I noticed that in your own artist statement, and you may have written this statement long before you decided to do this magazine, you use those words, secret behavior.
Yeah, I've been using that phrase for quite a while, and I came up with, I don't know how I came up with it, or even if I did myself, but I did incorporate it into my artist statement many years ago, because it's kind of, my personal work kind of, I like to take, create little scenes that I could imagine being like, these private moments that I kind of capture in a voyeuristic way. And that kind of fascinated me personally. And then, that some of the art that I'm really attracted to is art that makes me feel like I'm witnessing, experiencing something really, personal and intimate. And so I started a Tumblr a few years ago that was called Secret Behavior of Human Beings.
Oh.
And it was just a way for me to just kind of like upload and post just a bunch of imagery that inspired me or excited me or just really kind of I didn't think too much about it. I just posted what I noticed.
So I think I should also mention that your website is GallagherStudio.net, yes?
My personal work is on GallagherStudio.net. Yep.
But aren't there links there, too, to other things you're doing, like your Tumblr and your magazine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, my Tumblr and my magazine are now the same site. My magazine, you know, I have a link to buy the magazine on my Tumblr and mm-hmm. maybe just a little blurb about it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's a print thing at the moment, and I'm not going to have a digital version of it.
I like that. Let's talk a little bit about that. Why did you publish? Why paper?
Well, I've been doing this magazine is really a continuation of the Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing it for a few years, and it's been great. A lot of people follow it. It's gotten a great great reaction and following, and I just wanted to take some of the content on there, some of the images, and dig a little deeper and contact the artists and find people who could write about those artists, interview those artists, and get to know them in like a personal way. And I wanted this magazine to be just like a real, not like your typical art review, analytical, you know, writing about art. I wanted it to be really personal and just, you know, visually driven, but with, you know, like a...
Is it inspired a little bit like by Elephant? I find Elephant magazine is really great at like providing images, but then providing a lot of content about the images.
Yeah, I love that magazine. That's one of the few I subscribe to. And I, that would definitely be something that influenced me.
But, you know, getting into paper, isn't it kind of a challenge?
It is, but I have a background in paper, in design, graphic design for paper. And, you know, I guess I'm just kind of getting swept up in this kind of exciting moment where, you know, there's all of these new publications that are coming out that are beautifully printed and
do you feel like there's a renaissance?
So many targeted magazines right now that are out there that if you're in a place like New York, you can find them. I'm not so sure you can find them everywhere, but I think with the e-reader taking over some of the real kind of like trashy magazines, so those are
yeah.
kind of disappearing. I feel like, you know, there's now this chance where all these people can produce these independent magazines, and people are willing to pay a little more for them because they're almost like, I guess they're kind of closer to books. You know, there's something that people are not necessarily going to like throw away after they've read them.
Yes, yes. for me, I remember making some fanzines in the late 70s and the early 80s, and I was, of course, looking at other people's, you know, there was a bit of a renaissance at that time as well. Not so easy to make color and those kinds of things. You had to do color Xerox, but there was this sort of renaissance of, you know, what was becoming known as fanzines and artist books. And we were very much inspired by the Dadaists and the Surrealists.
Yeah.
So were you also, I'm just curious, like, are you inspired by other people and their publishing? Were you also looking at art history?
Well, no. I mean, I just thought it was a natural progression, you know, because I love, you know, books and magazines so much, and the Tumblr has been, you know, so rewarding to just find these images and let other people see them,
mm-hmm.
and the reaction was so great. I just thought it was a natural progression to like try to compile them into a beautiful, you know, tactile thing that people could buy and keep with them, and I'm really looking forward to doing it every 6 months or
every so. 6 months. So just for those who are inspired by what you're doing, what were the actual nuts and bolts of it? I mean, how did you lay it out? Who published it? Like, what were the decisions uh-huh. around all that?
Well, it happened very quickly. It happened, you know, before I could think too much about it, I just dove into it head first, and which is probably good because there's so many things that probably would have scared me away from
yeah.
following through on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I left a full-time corporate job of, 12 years in the end of May.
You did?
And I had been, yeah.
Where I saw you at those, when I saw you once at work, you're not there anymore in that place on, right in Midtown?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And it feels really good. I had the best summer of my life.
Whoa.
And so I've been wanting to create some sort of a corporation or a brand to kind of further my curation. And this magazine, I wanted to be kind of the central thing. So I dove right into it, and I created the LLC. I did the trademark search, and I found a contributing editor, and I did everything else. I'm the publisher. I'm the editor-in-chief, the curator, the creative director, the designer,
isn't that
the production
fun?
Artist.
Benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah. I don't know if I can keep that up, but soon after I decided to do this, I committed to doing the New York Art Book Fair, and that kind of dictated the schedule. So mm-hmm. I put together a really aggressive timeline to meet that deadline, and that's kind of that's what fueled it. So it's a 132 page, beautifully printed, four color, full size magazine,
mm-hmm.
and really nice uncoated stock. I found an amazing printer in Vancouver, and everything went really smoothly, and
what's the copy run on it? How many copies?
We printed 2,000.
Uh-huh.
And I have exclusive worldwide distribution through DAP, which is, in my opinion, the best art magazine, art book distributor there
is. Gee, I wonder if we could have, if this would be at Rich's here in Portland. I have to check that out, find out if it's there.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I would hope so. Now, were you aware of the fanzine called The Secret Public by Linder?
When did she do that?
In 1978.
Okay.
So no. I've got that, which, you would probably find that really interesting. It was interesting.
I'm sure.
What you just said here about we keep these things, if they're really good, we keep them. I have kept that fanzine, The Secret Public, which is full of all these Buzzcock collages and other things.
Yeah.
Ever since then. And so when you named this, I thought, whoa, there's something there.
Yeah, we're in sync.
You're in sync all these years later. So a question I have for...
The new DAP catalog, Linder's new book and my magazine share the same page in the catalog, which I found very exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent. Wow. So let's just talk a little bit, though, just about the word secret. I know as an artist, especially as a collage artist, like it's kind of an intimate thing, and sometimes it can feel like a secret. Was that part of it for you?
Yeah.
is it a hard thing to talk about?
I don't know. Secret behavior. I started creating my collage work at a really, really, at a tough time in my life. I was going through kind of this midlife situation. And
really?
I was figuring myself out. Myself, my sexuality, all these different things. And it was, I was kind of putting this secret, my, private life on paper, in this kind of therapeutic way. And people really started noticing it. Interestingly enough, for many years, I'd been having a hard time getting my work noticed, and then I kind of stripped it down to the real basic elements and did a very personal series, and that's when people started noticing it. So
it pays to be yourself.
It all ties into this personal, intimate work that, I don't know, people can, it's got a voyeuristic or exhibitionistic quality to it.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. If you want more information about this radio show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus, and you can see, get information about my past guests. I've been at KABU here, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something like that, interviewing. I'm also working with Joseph Gallivan these days. He's sharing this show with me, thank God. So he's here every other week doing a fantastic job. And today I have with me an artist from New York. So I'm doing this on the phone, but I've met this gentleman a couple of times. We showed together here in Portland almost 10 years ago, and then we showed in New York together. And in between, James Gallagher has curated quite a few exhibitions that went, Cutters, which is a collage art show. It started in Brooklyn, and then it went over to Europe. How did you, hope you don't mind if I digress into your curating a little bit, James. How did that whole thing start?
Well, I guess that also started from my Tumblr. Well, it might have been pre-Tumblr. When I started getting deeper into collage myself, I started discovering, you know, I just figured out like Google image search or something, and I became fascinated with how many people were out there doing the same thing or similar things.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of a whole new experience for me to be able to find people all over the world doing this stuff, and just right here in my living room, I could see everything, and I just started downloading these images and putting them into folders, and they just kept piling up on my desktop. And I thought, wow, I should do something. And so I started like contacting a handful of them, and the reaction was so great when I started telling them about possible plans for an exhibition. There was so much excitement that I followed through on it, and I pitched it to a few galleries, and both of them said, great. So Cinder's Gallery in Brooklyn was the first. And then a gallery that represented me several years ago in Berlin, Pool Gallery, no longer exists, but they were on board as well. So the next one went to Berlin. And then about a year later, I did a whole new... list of artists for a show in Cork County, Ireland.
Yes. Which is kind
which
of where...
went on to Berlin as well.
Which is where your family's from, right? I mean, you have a connection there, no? Did you have a connection there?
No, I didn't have any family connection there.
Oh,
I'd never
sorry.
Been there.
Oh, okay.
So it was just great. It was a great... excuse to get over there. I brought my oldest son with me to install the show, and we spent a week there and had a blast.
Uh-huh. Right. So now let's just talk a little bit about collage.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, okay, so I date from way back when, and I remember when collage was kind of like, didn't get respect, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I mean, I had people telling me, you should paint, you know, like that would be so much better. But something changed. What was it? Was it the internet that made it change? What made it so that, I mean, like now there's nothing more of the moment, it seems to me. There's nothing that can tell the story of now as well as collage.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's like everywhere. I mean, you know, and people are contacting me every other day from somewhere in the world, like letting me know that they're doing the same thing, and, and they love it. They love what I'm doing. They want to show me their work. And, you know, there's a lot of people collaborating, you know, all over the globe, like sending a piece, a half finished piece from one place to another. It's pretty amazing. The community that's forming, social media is hosting a lot of this. But yeah, it's very timely. And, you know, as far as the internet goes, I mean, there are so many images, we're being bombarded with them. And I think digital collage, although it's not what I do and it's not necessarily the thing that excites me, but there's a lot of that happening. But I think the internet, just because it is so...
It's sort of a collage itself.
And it's so huge in our lives. I think that people's almost like a reaction to that is people like going to books or finding these, or it's almost, I almost feel like I'm saving these books that I'm seeing on every single corner in Brooklyn, like out for recycling.
Yes.
These beautiful books, you know, I it's almost like I want to take these beautiful things and like save them and give them another life.
Give them another life. Well, as John Stasiker said, you almost have to do violence to an image in order to restore it.
Yeah, you kind of have to get past that too. I had a very hard time like cutting up these beautiful things, and you know, sometimes if I love a book so much, I will try to find as many copies of it as possible.
Yes.
Put the best one up on the top shelf
and cut the rest.
No one will touch it and cut the rest up, so then I can sleep at night.
Yes, well, you know, I had that as well. Like, how can you cut books? And so I tried to do magazines for a long time. But then there was a moment when I recall someone was losing their home and they tried to give books to the library. These were art history books. And the library would not take them because they had a funny smell or something. And so that was the moment for me when I realized, hey, you know, nobody is wanting these books. They were at a garage sale. They were offered. No one wanted them. So that was the moment when I decided I have no guilt about cutting. But do you ever get, you know, complaints from people about that? I did earlier on.
You know, I want to touch on that funny smell comment because one of the complaints I do get is from my wife, who's like, if you bring another one of those books into the house, man, your studio smells like, like an old musty, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Speaking of old and musty, you cut out of sex manuals, right?
Yeah, I've gone through, you know, quite a few of them. Yeah,
talk to us about that. Talk to us in a way that I can have on the radio. tell us how you. What was your? I mean, we all have a journey with our materials,
right?
So,
well, it's not just the sex part of it. It's I'm interested in people and how they interact and body language and all of that. So it's not just the sex manuals, but it's yoga books and it's anything and it's sports books and it's anything where I can cut out, you know, people in various positions and motion and have them interact with each other and I just love. I love real subtle body language, and one of the reasons I shy away from actually putting people's identity into my pieces is because I want the body language and all of those subtle movements and interactions to be the kind of the main focus.
They're the character. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So there's
a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, you know, he just like lops the head off or slaps something in front of the face and calls it a piece. But that's really not, that's just something that I do to help us focus on what I want to showcase.
Yes.
And that's not the main thing. You know, a lot of people are now calling that the piece. Oh, I'll slap a bird on top of someone's face. And
yes, you know. Max Ernst did that. But
and there's variations of that everywhere, and some people do it really well, and it's very interesting. Other people, it's just kind of like an easy, I don't know.
I think I know that what I want to do is I want to make people look at something that's interesting to me. I want to make them look at this thing. That's what you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
You also have, though, an interesting, how to put it, sort of, ambiguity. Like, I find that often when I'm looking at your work, I'm not quite sure what I'm seeing at first.
Yeah, I really love that as well, because I get such a varied reactions to my work. You know, the same piece will talking to people that look at an image, one person will think it's beautiful, the other think it's ugly. One will see violence, the other will see, you know, romance. You know, it's really amazing. It's like a Rorschach test or something.
So now you said earlier that you got to collage late. What were you before? Were you a painter? I mean, what were you doing?
Well, I studied illustration and I tried many different things, and I would tend to kind of tighten up on everything. I was a little too I overthought things and I tightened up and nothing really felt exciting.
As an art statement, you mean?
What's that?
As an art statement, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I did end up doing when I left school was I fell in love with printmaking, and I was doing monoprints, and I had a baby right out of school, so it was very tough for me to get into the print shop, and because of logistical reasons, I started just cutting up some of my prints and piecing them back together to form new imagery, and I really fell in love with the surprising results, and really that was the beginning of it, and I didn't even look back. I mean, that was exciting to me every single time when I do a collage, I'm excited by the results.
It's a big rush. Now, yeah. You worked as an art director.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that was... Sometimes I think that kind of job might be at odds or in polar opposition to what you were doing as a fine artist.
Well, I think everything I do is kind of piecing things together. As an art director, I loved working with different people and kind of solving these problems and like taking all of these different elements and trying to you know, fit them together somehow to make this one piece that feels right. And, you know, I did that at work as a creative director, and I do that in my collage work. You know, I think there's a lot of similarities.
There's similarities. But,
It wasn't the creative outlet. It wasn't the personal creative outlet. It was more of a something I got satisfaction from it in another way. But it was a good balance to my my private collage work.
Collage work. So now, are you also teaching? Were you teaching at Parsons?
I was teaching at Parsons. It's been a few years since I've done that.
Okay.
I was kind of maxed out for a while, so I let that go.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm kind of rethinking what I want to do in addition to Secret Behavior. And I kind of have a whole, I don't know, it's kind of exciting. It's an exciting time because
Are you telling me you don't have a day job right now?
I don't have a day job. And
whoa. You know,
well, I'm going to need a day job soon.
Yeah.
So, but
that's
I'm taking a little bit of time to figure out just what I want to do because I want it to be a little more connected to me personally and my artwork and my personal and my magazine. So I want it all to kind of gel a little more. I kind of led a Jekyll and Hyde existence for a few years where my artwork never crossed over to my day job and vice versa. So I'd like to sync that up.
Yeah, I find personally as an artist that it's hard to compartmentalize. You know, like in my day job, they know I'm an artist. I just couldn't have it any other way. Not that I'm making art there, I'm not, but I couldn't hide it.
Yeah, they did in mine as well, but that just had nothing to do with that world, and it wasn't. Yeah.
Well, James, I'm going to have to wrap this up.
Okay. It's that was fast.
And I see. Yeah, I told you.
Right.
It goes by really fast. So for everybody, just so you know, his James Gallagher website is gallagherstudio.net.
And secretbehavior.com.
That's right. Tumblr
and where you can find information about the magazine.
About the magazine, yes. Secret Behavior. So it's a new magazine that he has out. It's going to be biannual, yes?
Yep.
Yes, a lot about collage art, but not necessarily restricted to it?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Cool, yeah. Cool. Well, James, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Ava.
Yes, yes. So you're listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and next week we'll have Joseph Gallivan here as the host. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be talking with you in a couple weeks.